the fact that whether you're doing it or someone else is doing it, the fact that it's getting done is the most important thing, right? So from changing several water heaters, which if you've ever seen any of that, Jeremy, I don't know, but to see a steel water heater or an aluminum water heater split like a can of tuna is quite interesting.
Hi, everyone. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Jeremy.
Authors of Where Should We Camp Next? A 50-state guide to amazing campgrounds and other unique outdoor accommodations.
Almost 12 years ago, we bought a pop-up camper that changed our lives and introduced us to the joys of RV travel.
Join us now as we talk about where to camp, what gear to bring, and the best food to cook.
We will also keep you dialed in to the latest RV innovations from people in the know.
So pull up a chair and join us around the digital campfire.
This is the RV Atlas. Hello, everybody, and welcome to today's episode of the RV Atlas. Today, we are talking to Rob Cochran from Togo RV about tips and the process for dewinterizing your RV, because it is that time of year and a lot of us are opening up our RVs for the spring. Rob is the head of RV service at Togo RV. With over 30 years in the RV service industry, he's passionate about making life better for RV owners and technicians. He's an RV Industry Association Master Certified RV Technician and the Education Chairman for the Florida RV Trade Association. In other words, he is a master at this stuff. Absolutely. In addition to working in the industry, Rob has been RVing since 1993, which is when he purchased his first camper. Our conversation is based on an extensive article with step-by-step details over at togorv.com. It's called How to Dewinterize Your RV, and of course, I will link to that in our show notes. So our conversation today is probably not actually going to go into as much detail as that article, because it's almost like that article is an ebook with step-by-step. So if we're talking and you want more details or more clarification, just refer back to that link and head over to togorv.com. I will put the link right at the top of the show notes at thervatlas.com. I dewinterized our Jayco Eagle last week in very rushed circumstances, and the weather was not really ideal either. It was actually kind of cold out, but I had to dewinterize a little bit sooner than I wanted to because our massive renovation project is almost done and our hardwood floors were being stained. So the floor guy was like, you guys got to get out of the house. So we were going to rent an Airbnb, and then we kind of cheaped out and decided to go the easier route and stay in the Eagle again, but I needed to dewinterize and get some water flowing through the rig. So I dewinterized one afternoon last week and we moved in later that night. We still had a couple of cold nights in the forecast though, so what I did was I filled the fresh water tank instead of hooking a hose up directly to our house for water supply. I didn't want to wake up to a rock hard frozen hose on the ground and no water. So using the fresh water tank allows the water to stay a bit warmer because it's inside the enclosed underbelly of the RV. And we had the heat cranking overnight because we were sleeping in the RV. So we were totally fine. It worked really, really well. But now I need to finish the process of getting the rig ready for spring. And I'm so thankful that Rob is here and he's going to help all of us with all of the steps to dewinterize our RVs in a really safe and effective way. So we're going to come back in a second to talk to Rob Cochran from Togo RV. But before we do that, we have sponsored messages from our friends at Thetford and Highland Ridge RV. Thetford makes going places easy by manufacturing top RV maintenance and sanitation products, and they've been doing it since 1963. Their brand new Titan all-terrain RV hose support is the industry's most rugged and durable sewer hose support. It includes 5 24-inch stackable supports that are easy to set up and a generously sized storage bag that makes packing them back up just as easy. Titan sewer hose supports have a durable poly construction that is easily washable and has no rusting parts. They support up to 15 feet of sewer hose and are compatible with Titan sewer hose systems and other hoses. Protect your sewer hose by getting it up off the rough ground, and don't forget to look for Titan Green at an RV parts and accessories store near you. To find out more, head on over to thetford.com. And the RV Atlas is also sponsored by Highland Ridge RV. The brand new open range roamer is the mid-profile fifth wheel you have been looking for. Offering more room and less weight, this 100-inch wide body lineup is feature packed and road trip ready. With residential amenities such as vinyl flooring throughout, nightshades, a max comfort queen bed with adjustable power base, and their ridge-length Bluetooth control system, you'll feel right at home while on the road. Whether you are looking for a quick weekend getaway or an extended road trip, the Roamer is the perfect fifth wheel for your next adventure. The Roamer series has floor plans that are perfect for couples or families that are ready for their next great outdoor adventure. To find out more, visit HighlandRidgeRV.com. Highland Ridge RV. Own the outdoors. Hello, Rob Cochran, and welcome to the RV Atlas. How are you, Rob?
I'm doing great, Jeremy. Thanks for having me. Excited about being on here with you.
Yes, and for our audience to get a little inside baseball, you work with Stephanie, and I sometimes try to spy in and listen when you're talking on certain meetings because you know your stuff. It's like you are mesmerizing about RV tech stuff. So I'm really excited to have you on the show.
Well, I appreciate that, and I don't know a whole lot of anything else. So this has been my life since I got out of high school, and so it's my world, and I really enjoy it. I always have the RV lifestyle itself, which you know I'm still a camper myself a little bit, but with my customer base and everything, it's just I got into it early and often, and just stuck with it, and proud to be part of Togo and working with Stephanie and. So great to meet you and talk to you about anything you want to hit on here. So
yeah, let's do it. So tell us more specifically what your role is at Togo RV, and even if you want to tell everybody what Togo RV is in a sentence or two. We have so many new RV owners and prospective RV owners that listen to the podcast. So tell us a little bit more about Togo and what you do there.
Yeah, happy to. So Togo, to begin with, is really just an RV companion. So it's really the tools in your pocket. You know, obviously there's been the app revolution has happened here, and to be able to, you know, when you're in trouble, reach down and go, okay, help me, you know, and have that toolbox in your phone, whether that's finding a campground, whether that's finding service, you know, whether that's learning more about the RV industry, places to go, you know, so it's just that we have got a full slate of well-organized information at your fingertips, and that's really our goal. And it's a great product that's just constantly getting better.
Yeah. So, what is your specific job and role? Like, what do you do every day for Togo?
Yeah. So as I mentioned, I've been in the RV service business all my life. I ran my own shop for a little over 20 years. I was at a dealership for 10 years prior to that, and so I sold my business off back in 2016 and floated around a little bit, and I caught wind of what Togo was doing. I actually had an idea, you know, for doing some app and how we could connect service technicians and service people to the folks on the road who needed service. And I thought, well, it's always difficult, and it's been getting more difficult trying to locate service people as the industry has gotten stronger, especially now through the pandemic. It's really grown. And so just thinking that there's an easier way to connect people. And so when I heard about what Thor was doing, and I just connected with Thor Brass there and Togo Brass, and I got connected with them and sat down with them and had a conversation about, I thought it was a cool project. I thought there was some great ideas that I had that could help. And so we just came together. So I'm now head of service for Togo. And so my role is really just that, is finding technicians and everyone out there who's servicing, whether that's a dealer, a technician, independent service center. And then anytime a customer needs that, trying to find a very easy way for them to connect through the app and say, hey, I need this or I need that, and help me find a place that can help me do that. And so that's my goal.
That's a great goal, and it's just really so necessary. And there is a real gap between, you know, the number of RV owners and the number of RVs that are being sold, and the number of service options. You know, it's just, everyone listening to the podcast who's had RV experience knows it can be hard to find service techs and to find places that are open to take you. So if this app can make that one step easier for everybody, you know, hallelujah. You know, I've downloaded it already. So today we're talking about dewinterizing the RV, and this is based on an article from TogoRV.com, and the article is called Dewinterizing Your RV, but it is really more of a comprehensive checklist of everything you would want to do when you're opening up your RV. So we're going to walk through some of that. Are you ready for action?
Yeah, absolutely. And we did go deep here with the article because, for one, we have a lot of newbies, you know, jumping in. And so we wanted to make sure that we cover a lot of bases. And of course, so we'll talk about all the pieces of this. But obviously, a lot of times, you know, us in the industry, we talk about dewinterizing. It's really just kind of getting the antifreeze out of the system after winter. But obviously, if you're pulling it out of storage, there's a lot of things you can do. And we wanted to make sure we covered a lot of that. So that's included in this article.
Absolutely. So our conversation is going to really spark everyone's interest to get you started and then head over to that article, which I will link to in the show notes. So let's talk about when you dewinterize your RV. There's not some magic date you can circle on the calendar and say, well, I live in New Jersey and I'm dewinterizing March 20th. I mean, it's not that simple. How do you think about that and when should people be opening up their RVs?
You know, and it's really all about the timing for you, right? It's all about when do I want to start using it again? And so typically, especially, you know, my business was in Central Florida and it was kind of an annual thing. But as you get up in north and obviously the camping in the 0-degree weather is not a lot of fun. So you put it away and you tuck it in. And then as that thaw starts to happen, you want to get that thing ready to go and start, you know, getting out there RVing again. And so it really comes down to you. And we talk about that a little bit in the article, even if you think spring's coming and hey, it's all, you know, everything thaws out and you get it all ready to go. And then all of a sudden, bam, we get hit with another freeze. And so we even talk about, hey, what do you do in that case? You know, do I have to completely dewinterize again or do I just, you know, so those pieces are in there, but it really comes down to you and when you're ready to use it again. And that's when you want to dewinterize, is when you're ready to take that step towards having fun again.
And for the newbies out there, you know, you can dewinterize your RV and go south for 3 hours or 4 hours and, you know, use your water systems and everything and come back home. And, you know, you might see some freezing temps coming and you can just winterize it again. I mean, it does seem intimidating to someone new, but once you kind of are an RV owner for a few years, like going back and forth just based on your use is not super difficult, right?
Yeah, and honestly, the big deal, of course, is the freezing temperatures and water, of course. So if you dewinterize and you get the outside ready and you do all the things and then you kind of bring it up and it's going to get cold. And once you really, winterizing the unit's not a real difficult task. If you're a little bit handy, it's not that difficult to do. And certainly there's plenty of places that'll do it for you. But so if you're comfortable doing it, that's something you can either dewinterize. And then with our RVs, and a lot of RVs have, you know, tank heaters, or you can certainly keep it plugged in somewhere and keep the temperature in if the temperature drops down. So there's some options to where you don't have to just kind of completely go through the whole process again. You can keep it warm, keep it ready. And then if you get hit with another cold front, you can kind of, there's some workarounds there where you just don't have to go through the whole process again.
All right. So in the article, you start with dewinterizing the RV's exterior. So let's start there too. And again, we're not trying to be comprehensive in the interview, but what are some of the major things you want to do when preparing the exterior of your RV for another fun camping season?
Yeah, it's really a good time to kind of do some of your annual maintenance, right? It's here and hey, we're going to use it for the season. And so that's how I think about it, is like, okay, let's just make sure everything's ready to go. If we want to check our roof seams, we want to make sure that there's, you know, over the winter that there's not been cracks or seals. And so there's items like that, that you're going to kind of do once a year anyway. And so it's just a really good time to look at that. And if you're going to put a UV protectant on things, and right. So those are kind of little pieces that, and you always want to check for some damage if mice got up in there, or so there's pieces that you just want to look at and do a really overall. And it's a good time to just do that before season hits and you're starting to use it.
I mean, it's like, what did the winter do to my RV? Right. Like, I mean, that's
exactly, there you go.
I mean, right. So I know some people, a lot of people store their RVs away for the winter and don't really have contact with their RVs for 3 or 4 months. Like, I actually feel really lucky that our travel trailer's in our driveway and we're in and out of it all the time. So if there were a leak or something like that, we would, you know, detect it. And I think that is good advice to people. Like, if you can visit the RV on a weekly basis, you should. So anything else on the exterior, or do you want to talk about getting the RV battery ready for action?
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about the battery. I mean, obviously, the anyone can refer to the article, and I hope they do. But yeah, let's talk about the battery a little bit, and hopefully you've kept that battery up. And you know, and that's one thing we kind of recommend. It's always nice if that's going to sit for time. You can always, especially if it's easy accessible, you can undo the battery. You can keep a small trickle charge on it and keep it home with you before you know, even though your camper may not be. So that's always an option as well. But a battery sitting and going dead or dry at any point will kill the life, of course. And so really making sure that battery is back up and charged and ready to go. And of course, a lot of it, if we have tongue jacks, we have things we can't even hook up the camper to our truck, you know, or tow vehicle until the battery's charged and ready to operate. So those are the kind of things you want to make sure that battery is good to go before then.
So for a maintenance guy like you, I mean, you want to pull that thing off in the fall or early winter, like you said, put it in the garage, trickle charge it, just letting it sit out there for the winter, unless you're planning on using your RV as an office or using it regularly. I mean, you want that battery off if it's a kind of standard deep cycle marine battery, right?
Yeah, absolutely. That's my preference. And then, of course, you know, some places they've got storage where you can plug them in. And even if you're plugged in, it's okay, of course, to keep your battery in there. If you're plugged in, you're going to have that constant charge on it. But at the same time, you can use some water in that battery. We're going to lose a bit of water in that charging process. So if it's somewhere plugged in and you can't get to it for months, then that can be an issue too. So if you are plugged in, you want to get back and make sure you get the water back in. And then we have, you know, we're starting to see some more lithium ion. There's some different stuff. I don't want to get too deep into all that.
But oh, people love RV batteries, Rob. It actually is. Yeah, we have a dirty audience.
Well, it is the lifeblood of the RV. It's hard to get along without them for sure. So,
well, I love our AGM. I love our AGM batteries because, and I hope I don't get in trouble with you for saying this, they're kind of maintenance free as far as I
absolutely
can tell. You know, and I didn't realize when we got our solar system, and we have, I think, we have four AGMs on the current RV. We had six AGMs on the last toy hauler. I never realized, like, oh, my God, I'm making my life a lot easier here with these batteries.
Oh, yeah. I remember when they kind of first come out and we're like, what is this? No water? That's weird, right? So, but, yeah, you quickly can get adopt that and not have to deal with that kind of maintenance piece. So that is a great point for sure. I'm a fan of the AGMs, too. You know, we had the job batteries, and there were some others, you know, that's been out there, it's an evolving industry right now, of course, with EVs and everything else. So I'm keeping an eye on that myself.
Now, if you have the deep cycle marine battery, you do need to fill up the water. And what, just for the newbies out there, Rob, like, what do you need to know about putting water in the battery?
Well, you certainly want a distilled water, right? So the real problem with using tap water is you have minerals in that, and of course that can attach to the battery, start causing problems in itself, right? So you want to use a distilled, very clean water in the battery so that you don't create any issues with that, and that's kind of job one. And then you don't want to overfill it. Sometimes, you know, you just pour it. There is a little when you open the cap, you're going to look down in there, and you can kind of see you want it's about a half inch down before the top, so you don't want to overfill it because that's just going to boil out and come out anyway. So those are the main points of that. And then charging, you don't want to overcharge it, right? If you want, a lot of the chargers will kind of trickle charge, or they will stop charge as you get to the full battery. So you want to make sure 12 volt on 12 volt, 6 volt on 6 volt. So just some of the obvious things there.
Now let's scare our audience a little. Like, what happens if you just forget that step and don't put water in your battery? That's kind of bad, right?
Yeah, you're going to kill it. I mean, you're definitely going to take the life out of it, right? That they're made, that water should be covering the lead. And so as you drop that battery down, you're going to start boiling it out, and you're obviously, you know, you're going to ruin the battery. You know, it just will never be full of life. And you can a lot of times you can bring your levels back up, you can get back a charge on it, but it will just never have that will never have that length of charge that you're looking for long term once you kind of put it to the test.
So, you know, you said that batteries are at, you know, the heart of an RV. You know, tires are at the heart of safety in an RV. And, you know, we always tell people to get tire religion. So, when it's time to open up the RV in the late winter, early spring, what do we need to do to make sure the tires are ready to go?
Well, first of all, I mean, you know, that the neat thing about RVs are that we don't use them like a car, right? We tend to wear our tires out on a vehicle, on our tow vehicle or our car, truck, you know, long before the years are gone by. With travel trailers and sometimes motorhomes, you just don't drive it enough. And sometimes, you know, the tread can still look very good, but the tire is not. And so that's obviously inflation and knowing your inflation, and that's very vehicle specific, right? Based on weights. And so that's why they put the sticker on the motorhome, says, hey, you know, 40 in the front and 60 in the rear or whatever that is. And it's very important that you kind of follow those steps. You don't just look at the side of the tire and say, oh, max is this, you know, run it up to max. So making sure that you understand what tire pressure, and the manufacturers do specifically kind of spell that out for you. And so it's important that you know what that is and inflate properly. And then at the same time, make sure you know that when it's time to check the tires and replace them just because they look great, is not. You do always want to look at the sidewalls very well. You know, cracks and checks in those sidewalls are a real good sign that you're going to be a problem. And I can tell you from my experience, you know, when that thing throws the tread, it does a whole lot more damage. It's not just the tire, it's the fender well. I've seen them where it comes up inside the trailer and does damage into the interior in the closet. And so that is an extremely important piece of the safety puzzle for an RV, owning an RV.
And really, for the most part, an avoidable problem if you're just keeping everything checked and keeping the pressure right.
Yeah, absolutely. I you know, and most of our tires, like they, you know, I know some of the manufacturers over the years have had good and bad reputations, you know, say, oh, I wouldn't buy those again. We've seen some changes and, of course, some consolidation in the industry. But most everything that you get out today is made for that weight of the trailer and it's sized properly. So we don't see some of the problems that we saw years ago anyway. And so you want to make sure when you do replace them that you are the load range is correct. And there's more tire info coming out on Togo as well. I think we've got some tire articles coming out soon as well. But so you definitely want to, but it is an important thing. It's nothing you want to take lightly just because the size fits. You really want to understand the tire rating and know what goes back on your rig specifically.
All right, great. We're going to come back in a second with Rob Cochran from Togo RV, and we're going to talk more about dewinterizing. And up next, we're going to talk about really the real part here, the big part of dewinterizing is the RV plumbing system, which is totally at the heart of the dewinterizing experience. But before we do that, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Ocala Marion County. Ocala Marion County is a place well worth planning a trip to. This may be the last place you can experience Florida in its original state. Not overdeveloped or overly crowded, just quiet, natural, and spacious. Ocala Marion County welcomes RVers with plenty of beautiful parks and resorts, some of them located right on lakes or even golf courses. And once you're there, the whole area becomes your own personal outdoor playground. You can explore miles of hiking trails and spot wildlife like deer, bald eagles, and of course, alligators. You can cycle scenic roadways or mountain bike on nationally recognized trails. You can canoe, kayak, or paddleboard, or simply splash around in pristine waterways, including the area's famous crystal clear springs. And once your adventures are done for the day, you can enjoy everything from award-winning craft breweries and barbecue joints to hip farm-to-table restaurants and taquerias. Take it from us here at the RV Atlas. Ocala Marion County is worth the trip. Plan your adventure today at ocalamarion.com. All right, welcome back to the show, Rob. It is now time to talk about dewinterizing your RV plumbing system, which is something that I avoided doing my first few years of RV ownership because I was a nervous Nelly. Like, I was just scared to mess it up. And everyone says, like, it's so easy to do, but my response used to be, but if you screw it up, it's a big deal. But now I'm at the point, you know, I've been dewinterizing for years. I feel like everybody should know how to do it. So what are what's the big picture here? I mean, what are we attempting to accomplish when we dewinterize the RV plumbing system?
Well, let's start with the fact that whether you're doing it or someone else is doing it, the fact that it's getting done is the most important thing, right? So from changing several water heaters, which if you've ever seen any of that, Jeremy, I don't know, but to see a steel water heater or an aluminum water heater split like a can of tuna is quite interesting. So, but the damage can be done, and so that's a severe case, of course, but even water lines and all of those. So number one is making sure that you do it, right? Winterizing in those lines. It just doesn't take much there. Most of that stuff is plastic, right? And we'll talk about a little bit some of the others, like your small valves on the toilet, your ice maker valves, the things that often get forgotten. But getting antifreeze or getting the water out of that is extremely important, because it just doesn't take very much water for that freeze to split and break and do some serious damage.
So we're hoping, obviously, that we winterized correctly when we, you know, dewinterize. So what's sort of the step by step here when you're trying to get the antifreeze out?
Yeah,
of the
once you've winterized correctly, and it is obviously we've got the antifreeze in the system, and that's getting all of that out of there properly. And so we want to drain our systems completely. And at this point, if you've winterized and you've bypassed your water heater correctly, right? So there's really no water left in the water heater. And then it's a matter of getting all of our pipelines flushed out, right? So we want to start and bring that water, introduce that water back to the RV. Prior to you just want to keep the water heater bypassed, and then you want to start kind of running all of that out. So that's really the gist of it, is getting all of that.
And you're going to see it come out of every faucet, right?
Yeah. Good point. Yeah. And so our antifreeze, fortunately, they did us a favor and put some pink color in there. So we know what it looks like. Right. And so when we run that, we're going to continue to run that all the way until that pink color is completely out and we're seeing nothing but water.
And I always do that, of course, but I feel like you even have to go a little bit further, because I've had some like showers that feel a little sticky and antifreezy, even when I thought I had it all out. So, you know, if you can go a little bit past that point of the pink drink coming out.
Yeah, and we go in. Yeah, you certainly can. And I do recommend that. And so a lot of folks have put antifreeze in there. You know, if you've dumped it into your freshwater tank so that you can pump it in, which, you know, we recommend putting a bypass on the water heater. And then that way you can just kind of flow right from a jug into your system and not have to put that in your tank as well. But nonetheless, you do want to go ahead and get everything out of there. And then we recommend that you sanitize the freshwater system. And that article goes into how you know, you add some bleach to your water tank and you can run that through the entire system and then flush that out again. And that way you're really getting a good clean sanitization in your entire water system as well while you're dewinterizing.
Yeah. And for the newbies out there, you know, if you're always camping on full hookup sites or sites with water, you might not use your fresh water tank for years. But if you are doing any kind of dry camping, you definitely want to sanitize that thing. I mean, is once a year a good recommendation? Twice a year for sanitizing the freshwater tank?
Yeah, and I you bring up a good point. It kind of depends on that use, right? If it's not been used in a long time, that tank's sitting there, and typically you're going to have some moisture, you've got some previous water in there, and you absolutely have a chance to picking up some mold and such in the tank. And so it's obviously a good time to do that based on your use. But I like to at least sanitize once a year, even if you're kind of using that tank on a regular basis. It's still a good idea. Just go ahead and introduce the bleach water to it, run it through the system, run it through all your lines, clean your lines, and then recharge your tank with fresh water ready to go.
How long do you let the water with the chlorine sit in the tank?
I like to just kind of let it, I fill it up, and I've always been kind of overnight, like fill it up the day before, let it run over, you know, overnight. And that way you've got a good chance for like that bleach to take action. And if there's any, you know, the slightest bit of bacteria or so forth, you're going to be able to do that. But really, you know, 8 to 12 hours is kind of a good indicator on that.
All right, great. So let's talk about checking the propane tanks and making sure you're good to go there. And again, it's just a safety issue, right? I mean, you need to make sure your propane tanks are ready to go. So what are just some basic things that we can do to check that they're safe to get them up and running again?
Yeah, so for starters, you know, with coming out of winter, and sometimes a very hard winter, you know, that those lines are all rubber like anything else. And much like the tires, you'll see some cracking or some checking. So that I always like to do it a little bit of an inspection on that area where your regulator is, where your LP tanks are hooked up. And so check those lines for starters and just make sure all of that is looks good before you even turn the propane back on. Just look for the obvious stuff and make sure everything's okay. And if you need to replace a line, they're very inexpensive and not at all hard to change. The little pigtails or the rubber line, you know, from the regulator to the coach, you can change those. And then you just turn on your propane. You want to be, obviously you want to watch right there at the tank, make sure you don't smell anything or hear anything. And then same thing with the inside, just kind of work yourself in, checking the LP detector, making sure that that's still operating as it should be. And most of those have little test buttons so you can verify those. And then you can even put a little bit of soapy water around, you know, around all the fittings, just making sure that there's no leak in that. With LP, I always recommend that a manometer test go on there at least once a year. And that's something that's real simple. You know, any of the RV techs have that little system they can drop on and pressurize your system and just make sure, you know, they'll shut the tanks down and make sure there's no leak in the system. It's always a good idea to do that at least once a year just to verify there's no hidden
LP
leaks as well.
That's a great tip. And like, just pencil it in whenever you bring it in for service. You know, like if you're the type of person that brings in your RV to be winterized, maybe have them check that. Or if you're having a dealer open it up, just add that to the list, right, as a standard.
Yeah, that's really, and I, even if you're going in for something else and just say, hey, while it's in here, yeah, could you just put a manometer on there, you know, do a real quick LP test, because it's a real simple thing for them to do, but it's equipment that not everyone else is going to have. So it's a great idea to do that while you have it in the shop.
Great. So we're going to come back in a second. I got a couple more questions for Rob. But before we do that and wrap up the show, we have sponsored messages from our friends at Camp Spot and Yogi Bear's Jellystone Park Camp Resorts. CampSpot is an instant booking platform for camping across North America. Research and book the best campgrounds, RV parks, cabins, glamping destinations, and more, whether it's last minute or for your epic road trip months away. CampSpot lets you filter your search results by the type of getaway you want. Browse by location, price point, site type, amenities, and more. CampSpot also offers premium inventory, real-time availability, and a lowest price guarantee so that you can find the best sites at the best campgrounds for the best prices. Plus, you can save your favorite campground finds for future trips and keep all of your reservations organized in one place. No more digging through old emails to access those reservations. With CampSpot, they are always right at your fingertips. It is time to book those summer camping trips right now. To find your CampSpot, visit campspot.com today. And the RV Atlas is also sponsored by Yogi Bear's Jellystone Park Camp Resorts. Whether you enjoy the comfort of a cabin, are an RV enthusiast, or prefer tent camping, award-winning Jellystone Park's first-rate accommodations, attractions, and activities provide the setting for a fun family vacation that is also easy on the wallet. Jellystone Parks have everything you and your family will need to make long-lasting camping memories. From amazing water zones, including pools, splash parks, and splash pads, to mini golf, wagon rides, and jumping pillows, to themed weekends and family camping oriented activities, including appearances from Yogi Bear and friends, you'll notice that family fun is the main attraction. And with over 75 locations across the United States and Canada, you will have a quality camping experience that is also close to home. Just remember, it's not just a campground. It's a Jellystone Park. To find out more and book your spring and summer and fall getaways, it is not too early to start booking those fall Halloween weekends. Head on over to jellystonepark.com. Welcome back to the show, Rob. Let's kind of just wrap things up here. So talking about dewinterizing, anything else we need to do to check our RV safety systems when we're opening up for the spring?
Well, you know, we've got appliances, and so all of that's been sitting for a while, and we have gas appliances, and we have potentially insects that can get to those. So I always like to, let's go ahead and make sure that all those things are working right, and I like to do a visual inspection first, just like we talked about the LP system. We want to kind of look at the water heater, go out, open the door, you know, get a good viewing, you know, check the burner area, check the flue tube, and just make sure that something hasn't gotten in there or any wasp nest, anything like that. Same with the outlet for the furnace. So, you know, I always do a visual inspection on those, make sure we're all good. And then I just want to run each one of those and light it up, make sure everything fires up and operates like it should, and go ahead. You know, I run the water heater through a full cycle. I go ahead and run the fridge and just make sure that cools like it's supposed to, and that everything's ready to go before I haul down the road and find out I have a problem. So it's a real good time to check those items.
Yeah. And, you know, I think a lot of people in my neck of the woods in the Northeast sort of dewinterize and go on spring break, you know, go down to Myrtle or Florida or whatever it might be. And it's just important to slow down a little and make sure everything's working, because you don't want to get to your Myrtle Beach vacation and discover you don't have hot water, or get to your Myrtle Beach vacation and discover there's a leak under the sink or whatever. The refrigerator's not working. I mean, you want to test everything almost as if you were camping, maybe even spend the night in the rig, you know, before you hit the road and go have some fun. So, Rob, let's wrap it up with a couple of fun questions. You know, you've had an awesome, you know, career in the RV industry. What's your favorite thing about working in this like RV camping space?
It's really the attitude of the people. I mean, the one thing about this industry is that everyone is there to have a good time, right? You're there to enjoy what you're doing, and this is your getaway. And so the cool thing is, and I had such a different crowd. My Florida crowd was very snowbird driven, right? And my Myrtle Beach crowd was very family driven, but both parties I just loved our audience, you know. And I, to be in the retail business is not an easy thing for most, but the RV industry is just, everybody is just more laid back, and everybody's out there to have a good time. And yes, you're going to have problems, and yes, you got, you know, so you may have some stressful events occasionally, but for the most part, it's the people, you know, it's just absolutely the customer base that I enjoy working with.
Yeah. I mean, you're selling joy, right? I mean, like you said, there's some bumps along the way, and there's going to be some problems and issues along the way, but I agree completely. I just love all the people that work in this space. I think you get a lot of really nice, happy people. So you've been an RVer for 30 years. My last question for you is like, what are, you know, a couple bucket list RV trips that you want to take that maybe you have not taken yet?
I have never done Yellowstone, so I definitely want to do Yellowstone. And I, you know, after hearing, you know, of course I did the FMCA rally, I worked all these booths and you know, the big Alaska trip is still the other thing that eludes me. So I still at one point, hopefully in the next 5 to 7 years, can get to Alaska. Those are two on my list.
That does seem to be, for many RV owners, like the most epic trip of trips is the Alaska trip. So I'm sure you're going to get to Yellowstone and Alaska. And when you do, you're going to come back on the show, if not sooner, and tell us about all this. So just reminding everybody, it's Rob Cochran. He's from TogoRV.com. And this is based on an article from TogoRV.com called Dewinterizing Your RV. I will link to that right at the top of the show notes for this episode on the RVAtlas.com. So if you were driving while you were listening to this and you want some more detail and more information, more of a step-by-step, it's all there in the blog post. And this is a blog post you could use every year when you open up your RV in the spring. So, Rob Cochran, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Jeremy, thanks a lot for having me. Really enjoyed it.
A big thank you for listening to this episode of the RV Atlas. And a big thanks to our sponsors.
To Jayco, the Thetford Corporation, Camp Spot, Yogi Bear's Jellystone Park Camp Resorts, and our friends at Ocala Marion County in Florida.
To find out more about the topics discussed in this show, visit thervatlas.com.
And join the friendliest group of RVers over at the RV Atlas Group on Facebook.
And if you enjoyed this show, please consider leaving us a review over at iTunes.
And we'll see you at the campground.
See you at the campground.